is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Back to full strength. Jim Ward, back.
Yay.
Back in the saddle again.
With less cameras up the ass.
Right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere.
Seems like we have cameras up my ass here every day.
Right.
Well,
doesn't
and light shining
like
in my eyes.
Yeah, we won't have to squint to do radio
exactly,
tomorrow.
Exactly, exactly. All right. In case you hadn't, we mentioned to Jackie at the top of the hour, this is our last day on Current TV. Mm-hmm. Al Jazeera America starts, I guess, Tuesday, but I'm not sure what's happening after today. But anyway, you can please follow our Facebook page, StephanieMiller.com.
Al Jazeera's got a big house.
Right. Al Jazeera indeed has a big house. All right. We will have a new television outlet. We're on vacation the first week in September.
Yep.
As soon as we know, we will... We will tweet and Facebook out the news as to where you with the new television outlet.
That's
the
right.
Radio show, of course, continues. And I, you know what I'd do right now if I were you?
What?
Get that StephCast only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance.
That is a brilliant idea.
So you do not miss a moment of us before you can see us again magically. All right.
Go to StephanieMiller.com to find out how.
There you go. Thank you. All right. In the meantime, guess who's here? Our buddy, our Thursday pal. Yes, our Thursday pal.
Yes.
There we go.
Carl.
Oh, Carl Frisch. FullFightStrategies.com.
So inviting to me.
Frisch. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning. It's good to see Jim back, and I think I get to break the news that henceforth, after your vacation, the show will be appearing live from Jim's colonoscopy.
That's right. from Jim's ass.
Exactly. Pardon the echo.
And I know the rumor is that we're all going, including Dexter Von Frisch, to Dog TV, but that rumor is incorrect.
No, it's Animal Planet 6. So check your local cable providers. I don't know if it goes that high.
But me and Max and Fred and Dexter.
Right, and actually they'll just be sitting in our stead.
Yeah, exactly.
Feed them peanut butter, watch their mouths move.
Now, Carl Frisch, before we get to your tweets, we have to take a peek into Right Wing World because the rodeo clown incident, mm-hmm. controversy in Missouri where the...
Right.
Yes. The rodeo clown wore the Obama mask and... Oh, anyway, it turned into a giant Klan rally.
Oh, it was worse than wearing the mask.
Right. Who wants to run Obama down with the bulls and all that, right? I'm sorry, what else?
Well, and then also they played with the mask's lips and everything else, so, yeah.
Right. Rush Limbaugh something to finally get outraged about yesterday. I heard him going, this is ridiculous. I can't, liberals have no sense of humor. What? Why won't the president lead? Why won't the president say this is no big deal? You see, it's the president's fault for not leading by saying, this is funny, people.
That was better than the audio that we used to play of Rush Limbaugh, by the way.
Yeah,
thanks.
But this is vintage Rush Limbaugh. I mean, just to recap for people, this is the man who, when we had one African-American senator named Carol Moseley Braun, whenever he discussed her theme song was Moving On Up from the Jeffersons. This is a man who uses an affected pseudo-African-American accent when talking about stories that involve people of color. This is a guy who calls the president an African-American. This is a guy who may not be a racist, but I think he's far worse if he's not.
Yeah.
Because he plays on the racist sensibilities of his audience. And this is exactly what we're seeing here. And, of course, you know, in 1994 when Republicans took control of Congress, he was made a honorary member of Congress. And wouldn't you know, one of his colleagues in Congress is inviting these racist rodeo clown rednecks to, his district to put on a show. And that's Steve Stockman from Texas. It had to be Texas.
Yeah. Well, I love this, too, and of course, poor Trayvon Martin got dragged into this. How dare he say something about a dead, innocent, unarmed teenager and not defend the rodeo clown? I'm like, what?
That's the real crime here.
What?
Not defending the rodeo clown.
Right. Yeah.
No,
the president apparently lacks a sense of humor or any leadership abilities for not defending a minstrel show? What?
Actually, Rush Limbaugh is a rodeo clown. Now that
But not just even a minstrel show, but who wants to see him trampled?
Yeah. Who wants to see the bull run down Obama, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I was like,
I mean,
wow.
It's no different. It's just a slower form of death than when we saw the gun shows selling those Obama targets.
Yeah. I love this. Actually, Peggy Noonan said the same thing. That must have been the right-wing talking point.
It was.
Why won't the president show class and sense of humor and leadership by defending the rodeo clown? All right. So that happened, and we all apparently let it, Carl Frisch.
She's a rodeo clown, too, as far as I'm concerned.
There you go. You gave us the breaking news. Was it yesterday? Twitter wins Democratic nomination, New Jersey special senatorial election. You refer to Cory Booker, well-known tweeter.
Yeah, it's the first time that a social network has been elected to office. you know, hopefully it doesn't do a lot of RT, you know, retweeting it. Forges its own path. I don't think I can go any further on the metaphor.
Right. No, you're done.
But no, Cory Booker, next senator from the great state of New Jersey, extremely low turnout, which is, you know, precisely what Chris Christie wanted. You know, he didn't want to have to worry about the extra Democrats turning out. I think it was about 9% turnout, which is higher than they had thought it would be, but still pretty darn low. I don't think anybody thinks that the Republicans have a chance in this race. And, you know, what was interesting about the primary is you had three really great candidates. You had the only rocket scientist in Congress. You had the Democratic floor leader, the guy that, you know, sets up all the speeches from Democrats on the House floor. And you had Cory Booker, a great mayor from Newark. And that's a good indication of what our bench looks like, Stephanie.
Yeah.
Now let's look at the Republican bench.
Now.
Rand Paul and Ted Cruz, who can out-crazy each other to be the Republican nominee in 2016?
Who is going to win that crazy off, do you think, if he was a betting man?
Well, it depends on how loud those birthers are. Because I would, you know, I think birthers are, if nothing, consistent, right? We expect them to raise the same stink within their own party about Ted Cruz being born in Canada.
Of course.
That they raised about the president, because nothing would distinguish them otherwise. I think you've got to give the edge to Rand Paul. Honestly, I think it's going to be somebody that nobody's even talking about right now, because these guys are so bonkers. I think maybe somebody like Mitch Daniels from Indiana or somebody like that.
The teeny tiny Mitch Daniels.
Yeah, miniature, mainstream, and not making any waves right now.
Yeah.
Because I think you're
going to
end up having like 10 crazy people like we did last time that just beat each other up, and, you know, every other week we have a new front runner.
Yeah.
And then the last person standing is going to be the one with the most money, and that's going to be the person that the Washington Beltway has decided should be the nominee.
And isn't it amazing how little power Mitch McConnell and John Boehner have?
Oh, they have no power. They are the emperor without clothes.
Yeah.
Close your eyes. You don't want to see it.
I fear, I was going to say.
I'm without clothes, but I do have a shell.
Yes. He has a thick candy coating. Carl Frisch, Kathleen Madigan told us that Rand Paul, she's met in person, is equally teeny tiny.
He is tiny. I've met him. His wife is stunning, and I met him at the Correspondents' Dinner last year. He is very, very small.
Well, right. So if it's he and Mitch Daniels and who knows who else, maybe even Jeff Sessions will get in, it'll be like a dwarf toss.
I announce my candidacy for the presidency of the United States.
The primary.
What?
Well, it's either that or they have wings and they're the flying monkeys from the Wizard of Oz.
There you go. I like that idea.
But, short people generally have trouble winning. Hillary's not the tallest person in the world, but I don't think our first woman president is going to be 6'2".
No, probably not.
No, that would have been Janet Reno.
Yes.
No.
All right.
And what a dance party it would have been.
That's right.
So let's talk Olympics. You tweeted, Olympic sponsors stand by games as criticism of anti-gay law mounts. Our friends here at NOM. The national spokesman sings praises of Russia's anti-gay law.
It just gets worse, and I'm glad we have so much time before the games, because everybody needs to know about this. If this was happening tomorrow, the corporate sponsors would put their heads down and not do anything. And I think there's still time to change things here. It gets worse and worse. I mean, if you look at what the law says, I mean, Andy Cohen, for example, he's the guy from Bravo.
Right.
He was scheduled to be hosting Miss Universe, which will be taking place in Moscow this year. And he just pulled out of it for fear of his own life. The evening news anchor in Russia on a state-owned news channel came out of the closet last week an evening broadcast and was summarily fired, and said that he couldn't not come out and tell people that this guy that millions are watching in Russia is no different than anybody else. This is, you know, the way that gay folks are treated in Russia is a wet dream for right-wing evangelicals. This is the same kind of thoughts and baloney that they've put in the heads of different African nations, and it's no less frightening. And we need to be using the attention that the Olympics is going to bring to raise attention here. This is not just about gay people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what do you think should happen? I mean, obviously the president has said he doesn't think we should boycott, but what do you think?
I don't think we should boycott the Olympics either. I think we should move them to Vancouver and move on with our lives.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
You know, I think anybody who...
Can't Ted Cruz make that happen? He's Canadian.
I would hope so. I think he would probably want to placate the right wing and not say anything. Oh, wait, no, he hasn't said anything about the Olympics.
Yeah.
Nobody on the right wing has. And if you want an example of how difficult it's going to be for the right to connect with the middle of this country, the independents who look at anybody who's anti-gay or misogynistic as crazy and unelectable, look no further than how the right has reacted to the Olympics issue and the way that LGBT people are being treated in that country. It would have been a perfect opportunity. They didn't even have to come out for marriage or anything else. All they had to do was say what Russia is doing, this country that we bemoan all the time,
right,
beating up gay people, not allowing them to live their lives openly, what they're doing is wrong. They didn't even have to come out for any of the civil rights that we're fighting for in this country, and they still won't do it.
And ironic, Carl, that as I reported at the top of the show, that you know we're making such strides here, including the breaking news that it's nailed, meat coffin,
that's right,
for homophobes in California. The California Supreme Court unanimously rejected an attempt to revive Prop 8, ending the pending legal challenges.
Dunzo.
And then they took the 5 south to the 101.
Great. Totally. Well, you can totally get there to gay marriage if you're a Californian.
What are you doing here?
it's progress. I mean, everybody should know that you and Jackie are getting hitched.
Yes. Yep. Well, it is, last minute, trying to figure out how we can all stay together after current TV goes off the air, and there you go. See?
I would love to be your flower guy.
You know, we all have to ignore certain flaws, her being straight, you know, things like
minor
that.
Minor detail.
Right.
Well, I mean, you know, if you think about it, it's just the right thing to do on her part.
That's right.
For millennia, gay people have been entering into arranged straight marriages.
That's right.
Well, let me add her. I'll turn her gay.
So. Jim will have to supervise carefully
sure.
to make sure that everything, the transition goes smoothly. Now, Carl Frisch, great stuff, and we will obviously continue to talk about the Olympics and all the stuff going on over there. Thank you, honey. Give Dexter Von Fisch a Frisch
Von
a...
Fish?
What?
What?
A big gay kiss for me.
I totally will.
All right, love you, Carl.
But enough with the lesbian talk.
Hey.
What?
Oh, come on.
What?
Now, stop it.
What did I do?
Freudian slip much?
Easy joke. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like being stung by a bee, or getting a splinter, or being chained to a wall in someone's sex dungeon.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Josh in the current control room wants to see me without a hat?
Yes.
No.
Computer says no.
It's in the graphic that comes in where I'm like this.
Oh, that's, well, the graphic isn't live.
Or you can tune in to CNN every day and see me with hair and makeup at 4:45 Pacific. 7:45 Eastern.
You should take off your hat like they did in like 70s perfume commercials. You know, take it off and then just shake it.
No, because I'm Jose Hebert. It's attached to the hat.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, okay. I don't actually have hair.
Okay.
Okay. 1-800-STEP-12. Dana in Maryland. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dana.
Good morning. How is everybody?
Good, honey. Thank you for your
good
love letter.
Just about what Carl was talking about, and I'm so glad it's getting traction, you know, because it is such a human rights issue, and a lot more people are coming out. I saw Greg Louganis last night in an interview that was very well done.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just have to look at
it. It made a big splash, I'm told.
Hey, you see what you did there?
He made a splash.
I did see that. You just look at a picture of Hitler at the 1936 games and everybody doing Heil Hitler. I mean, that says it all to me.
Yeah.
And
he started with the gays and the gypsies. That's right.
Yeah. And I just, you know, how can you? I'm on the fence. Again, I do understand the athletes. I love our athletes. I support them. But, you know, I'm with Carl. I think there's plenty of time to make backup arrangements.
Well, we'll see.
The parallels between the Olympics in Berlin and the Olympics now are absolutely horrifying. Because back then, you know, Hitler said...
And everybody said, oh, Hitler will never go that
far. Right.
And
back then, Hitler said, okay, well, you know, we'll let, you know, the Jews in, but, you know, they just can't make a big stink about it. And
don't be all Jewy.
The International Olympic Committee went along with that. And that's the exact same thing that's going on with the gays today.
Yeah.
It's just a little frightening.
If you just hush about being gay, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I know you tried to drag Jim into a Hitler thing, and you got nothing there. Just like I got no reaction to Greg Louganis making a big splash. Dana? A little chuckle, something?
I gave you a sound effect.
Jeez.
I guess I don't count.
Really? Jesse in Dubuque would like to... They should stop their homophobia in Russia. Just stop it.
Yes.
Stop it.
Wow.
Stop
all I just wanted to hear in an endless
Stop
loop.
It.
That's it.
All right.
Yikes.
Thank you. That was, of course, Ann Romney, Rick Santorum, and Dana Loesch.
Dana Loesch thrown in there just because...
Why not? Joe in Utah, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Yeah. My concern is that when the Republicans want to run Cruz for president, watch. They won't say nothing about him not being an American citizen.
Yeah.
There won't be a tweet. There will be nothing. And they'll look the other direction.
Where's the birth certificate?
Yeah, exactly. By the way, he was the star superstar at that big the Family Flavin thing.
In Iowa?
Christian Family Flavin Company, whatever that thing is they have. Christian Family Leader Conference. Pardon me, Jim. That was in Iowa. Guess who was the big star, though?
Michelle Bachman.
Rock star cheers. No. God.
Yes.
And, oh, Donald Trump. Ted Cruz and Donald Trump, a sideshow at Fire and Brimstone rally, according to the Daily Beast.
Huge.
It may have drawn two presidential aspirants, three elected officials, a few dozen political reporters, even Donald Trump. But the Family Leader Conference in Ames, Iowa, was not a political rally. Instead, it provided a complete cultural roadmap for attendees, who included many pastors. Oh, here, would you like some of the fun facts?
Sure.
Yes. David Noble spoke. He's a leading evangelical thinker. Contradiction of terms,
yes.
Maybe. Let's see. Who led a group called Summit Ministries among more secular audiences? Noble may best be known for his 1965 work, Communism, Hypnotism, and the Beatles.
And Beatlesism.
I'm not sure what those three things have in common, but I guess we'd have to read his 1965 work to find out.
Is this like the Beatles and rock and roll are of the devil kind of thing?
In 65, the Beatles hadn't even started taking acid yet, so...
I want to hold your hand era.
A little beyond that.
He described a world in which three ideologies were competing for control: militant Islam, Western European socialism, and secularism, and American Judeo-Christian capitalism. Well, there's a little bouillabaisse of...
Except they talk about the war on Christmas, and they're usually talking about people who celebrate Hanukkah. So the Judeo part doesn't really mean much to them.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a...
Of course, Frothy spoke. Rick Santorum.
Oh, of course.
There was yet another surge. Here's a fun fact I did not know about Frothy. He is now the CEO of a Christian movie studio in Dallas. Did you know that?
Man.
Imagine what they're cranking out.
Of course,
there's
he'd have to be in Dallas.
He urged attendees to actively engage in the culture war by making art.
Art?
Like he presumably is at his Christian movie studio.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of these Christian movies out of Christian movie studios. That's not art in any
Maybe a little spin art, something. Let's put this thing in the... Ooh, look, you made art. Good.
It's a latch hook.
Good. You know? Macaroni glitter.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. Donald Trump finally made it to the stage around 6:30 p.m., but the auditorium had long since started to empty out. Well, that is just a sad little...
Huge auditorium. That's why it's empty, because it's so huge.
Right, because it's huge. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Don't talk dirty on TV. It's a family medium.
me, sorry. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number this hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Identity Guard, making it okay to trust again. Go to identityguard.com. All right, at top of the hour, we're going to squeeze another healthcare corner out of Jackie Schechner.
That's right.
And
get more blood out of that turnip.
she's my intended. How
Don't
dare you?
Don't call her a turnip.
She's my intended trollop. How dare you?
Oh. Getting more blood out of that trollop.
The trollop turnip.
Yeah.
Turnip trollop.
A lot of developments with Obamacare, including this from Yertle, Jim. Mitch McConnell's cyber fears not delaying Obamacare in Kentucky.
That's tragic.
A day after Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell demanded that the Obama administration delay the October 1st launch of the health insurance exchanges. Nice try, Yertle. A key component of Obamacare.
I'm coming to get you.
The head of Kentucky's exchange said the project is on target to begin on time. He, and yet another gambit to hamper the.
Oh, darn it.
The president's key health care reforms. McConnell wrote Monday to the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Service to express concern. He's very troubled.
He's very troubled.
Very concerned.
How hard it is to write with that.
Concerned turtle is concerned.
Concerned turtle.
Concerned troll.
Is very concerned.
Told him that he should be very concerned.
Yeah.
That most of whom the transactions will be online could be vulnerable to hackers and cyber criminals. The director said Kentucky's exchange in particular will proceed on schedule. She said she has not had time to even review McConnell's letter. I haven't looked at his comments. I've been working all day on some other issues that will involve getting the exchange ready to start on time in Kentucky. Nice try, though, Yertle. Very tricky. Very tricky.
Very troubled.
He's very troubled. Very troubled turtle's very troubled.
I'm troubled turtle.
This is just getting pathetic, isn't it? There are stents to stop Obamacare. It really is.
Stop it. Stop Obamacare. It's moving too fast.
I'm sorry. You would like to stop it?
Stop it.
Stop it.
Stop it.
Stop it.
Stop it.
Stop it.
All right. That's just silly.
Yes, it is.
All right. So we were talking to Carl Frisch about Ted Cruz, who's going to win that particular crazy off between Ted Cruz and Rand Paul for the Republican nomination. Guess who it's big trouble for? Governor Oops.
Oops.
Oh,
yes.
Rick Perry.
The headline is Ted Cruz turning into Rick Perry's worst nightmare in Iowa. Rick Perry cannot afford to lose any of his 2012 Iowa supporters if he's had to have any chance to win the 2016 Republican presidential caucuses there. So he must have not been pleased to read the headline of the OhioRepublican.com, Cruz garnering excitement across Republican factions. Yes, that's fellow Texan Ted Cruz, the freshman senator, the 42-year-old firebrand who is young enough to be Perry's son. Oh, dear. This is very all about Evish. early polling shows Cruz doing far better than Perry, even in Texas, where Perry has ruled for more than 13 years. Even without the Cruz complication, Perry is piling up a new collection of oops moments.
Oops.
So, right. Would you like the fun facts on his latest ones? Let's see. We have I think I even missed some of these. In a June speech to the Faith and Freedom Coalition in Washington, he slammed the Obama administration by saying, it won't make one phone call to save our men and women in an embassy in Lebanon. He apparently meant Libya.
Oops.
In a July interview with the Washington Post, Perry framed his potential 2016 prospects by saying, America's been a country of second choices. When a reporter asked if he meant second chances, Perry said both.
Oops.
Second choices and second chances.
Third base.
Actually, according to the last primer, he was not second choice. He was somewhere down.
He was like 8th or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Perry launched August by mixing up his locales during an appearance at the Red State Blogger Gathering, even though New Orleans was written on the front of the lectern.
Mm.
He said, there are many other states that embrace those conservative values, the approach that we've taken over the years. I'm in one today, in Florida.
But Louisiana is a neighboring state to his. He should know.
A voice called out, we're in Louisiana. And by the way...
You are an idiot!
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Yeah, that was just not a one-time oops thing.
No.
In fact, I can think of at least three... See what I did there? Because remember, he couldn't. There were three departments of the government that he was gonna, and he
abolish.
Couldn't. Right. So, all right. Okay, I was mentioning to Carl about the... just when you think this can't get more ridiculous. So the president should have apparently shut his pie hole about Trayvon Martin, but who you really should be defending is the rodeo clown in Missouri.
Right. The racist rodeo clown incident?
Right.
He should
right.
be defending
that's,
that.
That's a I big see. Leadership deficit there because he's not telling people to relax and not be so politically correct and blah, blah. Media writes, it seems only yesterday that when the conservative media went from ignoring the killing of an unarmed 17-year-old Trayvon Martin to shrieking at the top of their lungs that President Obama should shut his Kenyan yap about it. Maybe that's because it was yesterday, but a new day has dawned and conservative media has found something of sufficient gravity for the president to weigh in on a rodeo clown whose minstrelly has drawn the condemnation of Republicans in the former Confederate state of Missouri. Rush Limbaugh pretty much called all those people just wusses.
Yeah.
The Republicans that are... that had the audacity to condemn this, a bunch of wusses. I love Wonkette's piece on this, on because Peggy Noonan also wrote about the same thing. Dame Peggington Noonanton, cat blogger, astute observer.
Cat blogger.
Astute observer of the painfully obvious and longtime sufferer of a crappy hotel room thanks to Obama, has some more unsolicited advice for the president, which he should definitely follow if he wants to be like that great bipartisan messiah, St. Ronald Jesus Reagan, in his name, in whose name we pray. Here are today's words she wishes she could put in Reagan's mouth like the good old days, but she can't because he's gone sad face. So she will put them on the Wall Street Journal instead. She writes, let me suggest a classy Obama move that might go over well. Oh, I see. He's being not classy by not defending the racist rodeo clown. Okay, that was disrespecting not just him, but the office of the presidency, pretty much, suggesting violence against the president.
Have a rodeo clown with a Peggy Noonan mask.
That would be lovely.
Yeah. How about that? From his vineyard vacation spot, that was a little jab, the president's on vacation, and no other president ever has done that.
He should have
the press office issue a release saying his reaction to finding out a rodeo clown was rudely spoofing him was so what? Say he loves free speech, including inevitably derision directed at him, and he does not wish for the Missouri State Fair to fire the guy, and hopes those politicians unctuously, excessively, embarrassingly damning the clown and the crowd would pipe down and relax. This would be graceful and nice, wouldn't it? Well, the president is just so rude for not defending
so
the racist
ungraceful.
Rodeo clown. Oh.
And Peggy Noonan knows so much about rodeos.
Those
are her people.
He would never do it. He gives every sign of being a person who really believes he shouldn't be made fun of. He makes jokes all the time about himself. And if he is, it's probably racially toned.
Probably.
Because why else would you make fun of him? Oh, I see.
Playing with the mask's lips. It's not, okay.
No. Media writes, yes, if that uppity blackity president had any class at all, darling, he would take time out of his vacations. Vacations are for white presidents anyway, to explain to the American people that racist jokes are funny, people, and not even necessarily racist, and so what, people? Yeah, that's right, Peggy. That's a giant leadership void there. Dear God. Okay, Sandy in Ohio.
Dame Peggington Noonington.
Peggington Noonington, well-known cat blogger.
From Downton Abbey.
Hey, Sandy, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Stephanie. I'm one of those kind of channel floppers. Beck is on at the same time Ohio, as you are.
Oh,
so during commercials, I flip over to Beck because, I need a little laugh now and then.
Yes.
Nothing to be happy about in Pike County, Ohio. But anyway, did you realize that he has offered to sponsor a mask night in the rodeo, for a rodeo, because of that poor clown that's being abused by everyone.
Mm.
And since Beck had to buy his own TV station because he got kicked off of the two that he was on, including Fix News, I figure that's going to happen in Texas. Maybe he and Stockman can get together and put that on.
Oh, dear God. Yeah, is it going to be near his, is that where his compound's going to be? Glenn, Becky Stan? I don't know. All right, give me some comedy music. Speaking of clowns, wow. Have you seen this story? So Scott Brown, the Senator Fold, former Senator Fold, Jim. Chris, I don't know if you heard this story as well. So Scott Brown is going to obviously run for governor.
Yes.
His brother is apparently a big kind of George Zimmerman-esque doofus.
Really?
Scott Brown's brother accused of impersonating an officer and commandeering a boat.
Come on.
Jeez.
The brother of former Massachusetts U.S. Senator Scott Brown was arrested Thursday night in Connecticut on a number of charges, including impersonating a police officer. Check this out. Police responding to reports of a man with a gun found Bruce Brown driving a blue Crown Victoria with what appeared to be a disc antennas mounted on the trunk along with hideaway lights. Brown was wearing military-style pants. Officers say they found three loaded 9mm handguns, a black nylon duty belt with two sets of handcuffs, a police baton, 12 fully loaded magazines, with a total of 101 hollow point and 102 ball 9mm bullets. Brown also allegedly had a black tactical bulletproof vest with the word police embroidered on the front and back, with a silver metal TSA badge attached. Oh dear God, really?
Really?
Like flair. He's going to be police flair.
He's looking at the police version of TGI Fridays.
Exactly.
Investigators say earlier in the day, Brown commandeered a boat by identifying himself as a police Coast Guard official. He allegedly produced an expired Coast Guard identification. TSA and U.S. Coast Guard officials say Brown is not affiliated with either agency. Former Senator Brown released a statement on his Facebook page referring to Brown as his estranged half-brother, saying he only knows what's been reported in the news. Okay. All right.
So now he's Zach Galifianakis in Hangover 2.
Oh, my God. Where do you get all the fake badges and all that? Did he embroider the police vest himself?
You can order anything online.
I'm sewing. Shut up, honey. I'm sewing my police vest on. Oh, my God.
Oh my God.
That's as ridiculous as Glenn Beck's compound.
Are you tired of your government taking away liberties and freedoms you can't quite name? Are your vague platitudes and third-hand anecdotal facts falling on deaf ears? Well, come secede, or sec-D with us, in the Teabagger Utopia.
Glenn, Becky, stand.
I will personally come to your house and help you pack.
Your hard-earned money is yours to keep. There are no taxes in
Glen, Becky, stand.
Of course, there are no roads, bridges, police, fire protection, no teachers, hospitals, libraries, garbage pickup, or sewage treatment in
Glen, Becky, stand.
But hey, who cares about that big government nonsense? You'll feel like our founding fathers as you struggle against the elements, fending off wild animals and your fellow teabaggers when provisions run low and their survivalist training kicks in.
Get off my land!
Who needs government? It's overrated. Join us in
Glen, Becky, stand.
We have freedoms with none of the responsibilities. You want to shoot your gun in any direction? Go ahead. Want to lock your wife and children in the basement? Nobody's asking questions. Remember, freedom isn't free, but with a small down payment, it can be yours for a song.
Above the fruited plain.
Glen, Becky, stand.
Our future is in the past.
Yay, Kenny Pick.
Yay, thank you, Kenny. All right, 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ongoing train wreck aside, I love this.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
This is Zombie William F. Buckley Jr. My milkshake does indeed bring all the boys to the yard. Damn right, it's better than gauze, by which I mean that degenerate communist Gore Vidal. I could say that during our famous televised debate that I ate his lunch, but in point of fact, being a zombie, I ate his brains with some fava beans and a nice Chianti. Although I prefer a spicy Rioja Grand Reserva, must eat brains, preferably sautéed in garlic butter.
All right, that was for Kelby at Current.
Yeah.
He wanted one last. Zombie William F. Buckley. All right. Rocky Mountain Mike says, I shudder to think what Santorum art is. Yeah, that's...
Ooh.
You guys talking about spin art?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yikes. Okay. Chris and Yankton write, guys, Scott Brown's brother playing dress-up with his police embroidery reminds me of W having I'm the President embroidered on all of his jammies, jackets, and everything else. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
How dorky was that? Every single... It was like... And it wasn't an official thing. It was something he had made.
Right. It was flair.
By the way, guess what? I'm the commander guy. I'm the cider guy. Look at...
I'm the cider guy and the commander dude.
In the back of my underpants, too.
Okay. Hack in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Hack.
Hey, actually, you know, Peggy Noonan is a pioneer in the field of conservative punditry. She's one of those, she's a bleach blonde conservative pundit. That would make her a paroxy moron.
Hey! Okay. Hey, guess you what? We talked about North Carolina yesterday and that unbelievably awful... the voting suppression thing.
Right.
Hey, looky here. The governor, we played his sound bites yesterday, the Republican governor.
Uh-huh.
His approval rating's not so much.
No.
Tanks. North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory. Right.
Pat McCrory.
Has seen his approval decline sharply since the spring, according to a new poll. 39% of North Carolina voters approve of his work, while 51% disapprove. His numbers began to drop soon after he signed a controversial bill restricting abortions, mm-hmm. and they have further plummeted after this latest the voter suppression thing. Oh, by the way, the Moral Mondays, when asked to compare the legislature there with uh-huh. Moral Monday protesters who've demonstrated weekly outside the state capitol in Raleigh, in opposition to Republican policies, 47% favor the protesters, 38% favor the legislature. Hmm. So go, North Carolina. I saw a huge rally in our favorite Asheville, North Carolina,
yeah.
as well. Yeah, this is Hillary Clinton obviously had to get involved because this is so egregious what they're doing. And we mentioned it yesterday. It is really it is being called brazenly mm-hmm. designed to target Democratic voters. Hillary Clinton obviously spoke at the American Bar Association about it. Slamming a sweeping effort to construct new obstacles to voting, often under cover of addressing a phantom epidemic of election fraud. Yeah, in the state after state, there's like zeros. I think I actually saw a number, 0.0000001%.
It's an epidemic!
The vote fraud they found,
mm-hmm.
quote unquote. The centerpiece of the law, strict new mandate for voter ID, that's more notable for what it bans than what it permits. This is just so like blatant. Of the various forms of state-issued ID, only four are valid for voting. Driver's licenses, passports, veterans ID, and tribal cards. Everything else is unacceptable. This includes college IDs, public or municipal employee IDs, ID from public assistance agencies, and out-of-state driver's licenses. It's no accident these are the excluded categories, as with similar laws in other states, the restrictions target Democratic voters from students and young people who are more likely to rely on university-issued ID to public employees and the poor. Of course, a large share of the voters black and Hispanic. Overall, the state estimates as many as 318,000 voters could lack the appropriate kind of ID.
So?
What?
Yeah.
It's not like they're white or anything. What?
Yeah.
What?
Unbelievable. All right. So we've been talking about the rodeo clown controversy.
Yes, we have.
The controversy being, well, first of all, 2 days ago, Rush Limbaugh said it's the president's fault for going on the Tonight Show and diminishing the office of the presidency himself. You would expect this sort of thing. And now it's his fault for not defending the racist rodeo clown
right.
and not having a sense of humor and leading by saying how fun racist humor is.
How many people are buying his act anymore, I wonder?
Mediaite writing, for days, conservatives in the media have been calling out Republicans in Missouri for denouncing a rodeo clown's performance at the Missouri State Fair, although they keep referring to those Republicans as liberals for some reason. However, conservative media watchdog, Newsbusters is on it!
Our friends at Newsbusters!
Hiya! Swooped in with a welcome dose of cold, hard truthiness to let the Republicans, Democrats, and other decent people who are offended by the rodeo's mockery of President Obama know that this exact thing happens all the time. In fact, you wouldn't believe how often.
Like when?
Oh,
it's unbelievable. I can't even tell you how often it is because it's so often.
Despite the
happened again.
Media attempts to frame reaction to this incident as liberal oversensitivity. The performance drew immediate harsh rebukes from Republicans and Democrats in Missouri and it resulted in a lifetime ban for the rodeo clown. So, Rush Limbaugh basically calling them pusses for having any kind of sense of decency. Yeah, I don't know. They're talking about sometime 20 years ago, somebody was wearing a something, George H.W. Bush, Matt, what? This is anyone that saw this, even Republicans in Missouri, said this is racist.
Yeah.
It's a minstrel show. Give me a break. The guy playing with the lips on the Obama mask, like, ha, 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 get it? Because,
Newsbusters had to go back to 1994 to find an example of a Republican.
Right.
Yes, and they say it's so rampant.
rampant. Happens all the time, that kind of disrespect.
Yeah. Good on you, Newsbusters.
Nicely done. Okay. All right. 58 minutes after the hour, Jackie's Healthcare Corner next on the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Sexy Little Hal Sparks in hour number three with us today. You could not make it yesterday. And guess who's here, everybody?
Hello, world. Here's the news that's ringing. Come on, get Jackie.
In case you missed the news last hour, she is my fiance. Good morning, Jackie Schechner.
It's news to her.
Nice ring.
Thanks.
I gotta say, you splurged for the bling. I'm impressed.
All right.
You can't even keep it together.
The last rejection of the Prop 8 thing, that's done. It's over.
Dunzo.
Nail meet coffin. Gay marriage. It's for good in California, Jackie, just in time.
I know, and I was going to opt for a destination wedding, but now I feel like we have to do it here.
All right, because today, as everybody knows, start my love music again, and we will try not to weep before we do a Jackie's Healthcare Corner, but today's the last day of current TV.
Yeah.
And
because I know we've gotten tons and tons of mail about, will you be able to take you with her? The honest answer is we don't know yet, right? And
right.
We love Jackie, and obviously, you can tell that we are dear personal friends now, and we've had such an amazing time together, and so we're all sad about current ending. We will have a new television outlet for the radio show. The honest truth is we don't know if that will be a news channel yet. There's a number of options on the table. So as soon as we're back from vacation in September,
we
will
pretty
have
sure it won't be a porn channel.
Right.
Pretty sure.
Right. That's Jim's most fervent wish, and that clearly Jackie would be involved in that.
Yes, we're going to be the morning show for the new Hustler channel.
hopefully Jackie will continue to do Healthcare Corners with us as a guest until we know what's happening long term.
I mean, it's something worth explaining because I think people need to understand is that I was hired by Current Television.
Right.
Current pays my salary. I was lucky enough to be kind of dedicated to the Stephanie Miller Show, and obviously the relationships and friendships continue well beyond this particular opportunity. But Current's the one that pays the paycheck, and when that's going away, even though we know that Progressive Radio is rolling in cash.
Sure. I mean, we are so lousy in it.
So and I'm expensive.
Roll up the Brinks truck.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I'm pricey. And Steph knows because she bought the ring.
Yeah.
That's what's going on here. But I do want to let people know that I'm going to be active on Twitter as always.
Yep.
And it's just at Jackie Schechner. I have a website which has,
languished a little bit.
Yeah. But it's easy. It's just JackieSchechner.com. It's been up for 5 years or so now, and I'm going to start putting some effort into it again. I'm on Facebook. And when I figure out what I'm going to do next and where it's going to be, I will let everybody know.
And we will, right, and we've said go to StephanieMiller.com, follow us, Stephanie Miller Show on Facebook, and as soon as we can tell you where we're going to be, our contract with Current was till September 1st. We're on vacation the first week in September, so there will be another. I just can't say anymore. I'd have to kill all of you. But there are several options. We're deciding which is best in terms of the new TV outlet for the radio show. So,
I just quickly want to add on a personal note is that this has been an incredible opportunity to speak my mind and to be able to give my thoughts and opinions on the stories that really matter and the things that I think are important to people's everyday lives. And it's very rare that there's a news outlet that allows you to do that. And it would be very hard for me to go work for some organization that doesn't allow that to happen. So it makes the options a little more tailored when it comes to looking ahead to what may or may not be available. And I just want people to understand that this has been such an incredible opportunity being a part of this team and a part of this outlet.
Well, honey, we feel the same way.
Yeah.
As you know, we're I'm going out with you and your mommy Saturday night, so so we are not bull about how close we actually are.
It's true.
But and also, you know, people have said this
is
such
a
critical
before the wedding. Too.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, I feel like I should technically ask her, I suppose, for permission.
Yeah, her hand in marriage.
Yeah. Okay, your daughter's technically straight. Whatever. But anyway, what I was saying, too, is this is such a critical time for the Affordable Care Act, which you were so instrumental in getting passed. So I also think, you know, I hope that you'll continue to do Healthcare Corners with us. Work for free like everyone else does.
Yeah, why not?
Rocky Mountain Mike's like, feel my pain, sister.
Yeah.
I don't eat much. I mean, you know.
Clearly.
Rocky Mountain Mike was nice enough to send Jackie all of the jingles that he's put together.
It's amazing. Yeah. A mixtape. I got a mixtape.
Yeah. I should have brought my boombox to hold up for our final. All right. So we will keep you posted on all of that. And because I was saying, it's such a critical time, and this information is so critical right now. So let's dive into a corner, and we'll continue to do that. I was saying, it is amazing. Mitch McConnell's latest nice try. He tried to say he wanted to stop Kentucky's exchange from starting because of fears of cybercrime or whatever.
Cybercrime.
Right?
Yeah. And the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, it's important to note that they have been doing Medicare, Medicaid, CHIP, the Children's Health Insurance Programs, for years and years and years, and they've been working online. They handle sensitive data all the time. There's absolutely no concern, and this is just another effort to try to pick apart the provisions of the Affordable Care Act that are well on their way to being implemented in a successful manner.
The fact that there's no cause for concern means there's cause for concern.
I mean, just because he can't use an ATM doesn't mean...
Hey!
I have no fingers.
This is how bad it's gotten. As I was saying to you at the top, right-wing push poll accidentally finds Obamacare popular. This is incredibly... it's by the Heritage Foundation. Their poll oversampled Republicans and asked misleading questions, but finds most people still want to keep Obamacare.
Yeah.
Isn't that great? that's one of the things that was so poorly reported during the fight for and in the aftermath of healthcare reform is that when you say, how do you feel about Obamacare, people are like, I hate it. It's awful. And then you ask them about the provisions that it provides, and they're like, oh, like that.
Right.
So they put the death pedals.
I just don't like the black guy. I mean, I'm sorry.
Was that the question?
Yeah. I love this. And I love this one. NBC News reports a prominent conservative group marshaled new polling data on Wednesday to try to convince reluctant Republicans that forcing a government shutdown over Obamacare won't necessarily harm the GOP. Okay. That's not the polling I'm seeing. You go ahead with that, right?
Yeah. It's a stupid reason to try and shut down the government. Shutting down the government in general is stupid, but it's a dumb reason to try and do it. And people are starting to realize that you may not like the concept that the Republicans have created of this, like, weird monolithic government program. But the news is that it doesn't exist. It's a total bogeyman. It's totally fake. It doesn't exist. It's a series of provisions that are being put into place to help fix our broken healthcare system that was unsustainable the way it was. And that's the bottom line. So nobody's being shoved into any program. The government's not going to raid your house looking for your personal information. I mean, there were so many ridiculous rumors going around. It's like I don't even know where to begin debunking them.
What about the death panels?
Insane.
Exactly. Jackie, the article we sent you on Slate, because we try to, that's what we've been doing here with the corners, is trying to, like, tell people what might be a real threat to affordable care, what's just more of this right-wing noise. But this one is a little bit troubling, isn't it? They're talking about the effort to bring down the law at the grassroots level by encouraging citizen non-participation. They're, sending Freedom Works is saying burn your Obamacare card, which...
They're
morons, but still. Slate is saying the odds are slim it might just succeed. If that boycott doesn't succeed, the only people conservative leaders are going to end up hurting are their own followers. I mean, they're basically trying to get people not to sign up, right?
Well, that would be a good trick because there is no Obamacare card.
Right.
So you go ahead and burn away.
Yeah, you go ahead.
The second thing is that people need to take a deep breath and think about what it is they would be volunteering not to participate in. It's like you're going to need health insurance in order to get health care, and it's unfortunate that that's the case. I'd rather we just had a health care system and not a health insurance system.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you need access to health insurance in this country to get affordable health care. And if you boycott or choose not to sign up for a plan within the exchange, you're basically giving up affordable health care. You're giving up government subsidies to help you reduce your premiums for that access to health care. And it's all private plans anyway. So what's the alternative? To go out onto the market and pay more out of protest? I mean, it's such a call to operate against your own best interest.
I'm going
to
barter with chickens.
Yeah, right.
So
and they're trying to, I guess, get people to not be aware that these subsidies are available, right?
I guess. I mean, it just doesn't seem to make any sense to me. And, you know, they always say, like, when millionaires and billionaires are trying to get you to vote their way, they're trying to get you to vote against your own best interest, right? I mean, because what
right.
benefits them is not going to benefit the average American
right. They're
going
to try to trick people into not getting health care,
yeah.
you know, to pay the penalty instead or whatever. I mean, it's really...
Which, strangely enough, actually would negatively impact their big donors and the insurance companies, because the insurance companies want increased enrollment. So
right.
if you're encouraging people not to participate in the healthcare system, you're damaging the insurance companies, which are your advocates anyway, right, for the GOP
right.
advocates in Congress, and you're damaging the constituents who need access to affordable healthcare. I mean, none of that seems to make any sense.
So it's a win-win.
Yeah, it's a win-win for everybody, right.
You're standing on a really flimsy false principle. It makes no sense. I just ask people to take a deep breath and think logically about happening here.
Yeah. Ann in Tennessee, let's do a quick Ask Jackie. Hello, Ann. Hey, Ann.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi. Jackie, I'm an independent insurance broker, and I work a lot in the Medicare market.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been shocked here for the last several months, and we keep getting closer to this Affordable Care Act going in, so I say, okay, great, Medigap plans, Medicare supplements. Oh, boy, I won't have to close my book up and walk away or say, oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. whatever with Medicare, your premium's going to be $900 a month instead of $200 because you've got a pre-existing condition. Now, miracle of miracles if they even take them. They won't take pre-existing conditions. But they've always been the elite of the Medicare products that you could buy to go with Medicare. People go, oh, Medicare is not going to be part of it. Medicare weighs all pre-existing conditions anyway. Yeah, but if you total up
okay.
what they have to pay under Part A, it's well over $115,000, isn't it? And then Part
okay.
B, they got to pay 20% of everything. Okay. That's
okay.
Part.
Okay. Hang on. Let Jackie answer because we're running out of time here. Go ahead, Jackie.
Okay. Yeah. What about Medigap? These insurance companies are saying no. We're still going to be able to ask health questions and deny them and rate them up and have our way with them.
Okay, Jackie?
Okay, well, I think she's probably talking about Medicare Advantage plans. And what I understand about Medicare Advantage plans is that we've eliminated some of the waste and fraud and abuse in that system, and part of that is overcharging and offering things like gym memberships, which people aren't taking advantage of, but hikes up the cost. So there are some new regulations within the Medicare Advantage system, from what I understand, and these insurance companies are going to have to take a look at what they're charging and what they're offering, because they're not going to be making as much money off the government subsidies as they were before. So I think there's going to be some adjustments within that system, and I would imagine that they'll have to make that more affordable for people to take advantage of it.
Okay.
I'd have to look at the specifics, to be honest with you, of what the particulars are, but I do know that we've made adjustments to try to root out some of the waste and the fraud and the abuse which takes place rampantly within that system.
Okay. Can I hold you? Well, I'm just going to hold you through, because if your news is crappy at the top of the hour, what are they going to do, fire you?
Yeah.
All right, so Jackie's going to hang on
for
another
that
segment.
Gallows humor.
Jackie's healthcare corner, 18 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't know what that means, but I like the sound of it.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. All love, sex, and magic all rolled into one little adorable ball, Jackie Schechner.
That's right.
Now, by the way, so this is really important, Jackie. I was reading this the Slate piece, and that is one thing we really have to warn people about, is they are going to continue this effort to misinform about
mm-hmm.
the Affordable Care Act. Websites like Americans for Prosperity's Obamacare Risk Factors promises an individualized assessment of the law's impacts and will simply ignore the existence of subsidies, even though just 10% of the national uninsured population is ineligible for them. Starting this fall, anyone who goes online to start the process of shopping for a plan will be shown the subsidies as part of the White House plan to
right.
sell Obamacare. But the conservative plan is to make it socially acceptable to skip the exchange so people will never find out. I mean, that's... you know.
Well, that's what I was explaining, is that if you right. encourage people not to participate in the exchange, then you're encouraging people not to get help with their premiums. And I just need to emphasize this, and I would encourage people to spread this information around because it's important. All you're doing is shopping for a private health insurance plan. You're not getting
right.
pushed into any program. You're not getting signed up for anything you don't want to participate in. Nobody's coming to your house and searching your medical records. Nobody's taking your temperature. I mean, it's not, there's nothing happening here other than we're creating a system where people can effectively shop for health insurance. And we're talking about only the people who are shopping as individuals or some small businesses.
Right.
Most people, more than 95% of still get their insurance through their employers.
Right, right.
So we're talking about a small sliver of the population who otherwise wouldn't be able to get access to affordable health insurance because they'd be rejected due to a pre-existing condition or some other insurance company nonsense. And we're making that system better for people, and we're making it more affordable.
Right.
Where is the problem there?
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's Dale in Georgia, you're on with Jackie. Go ahead.
Yes.
Yes, please be concise. Go ahead, Dale.
Jackie, in Georgia here, the government is trying to roadblock ACA at every possible way, and they're claiming it's going to triple the rates. I don't believe them. There are two insurance companies that are saying they're going to opt out and watch and see what happens in Georgia. My question is that going to make the rates a little higher because of less competition?
Oh, shoot. I'm sorry. Jackie, go ahead. Sorry.
You
sorry.
Had me on hold.
Sorry. Go ahead.
You had me at hold.
Sorry.
So what was the question? I missed that part.
Uh-oh. He was saying that in Georgia they're doing everything they can to stop it, and some insurance companies are saying they're going to wait and see what happens.
Yeah.
And he's saying, is that going to increase premiums? Because that's what the Republicans there are saying.
Well, it shouldn't increase premiums. There should still be competition within the insurance exchange market. I mean, the nice thing is that the way the insurance market stands now is that one or two companies hold a major monopoly in almost every market. I think the last I checked, it was like 99% of the insurance market was considered highly concentrated, meaning one or two companies hold a monopoly. So the exchange is opening up competition, which means these insurance companies are going to have to offer some competitive rates to get people involved. Now, maybe there are insurance companies that aren't going to participate in the exchange, but then they're going to have to offer you a better product because
right.
essentially you're shopping for a health insurance plan, and there would be no reason to buy outside of the exchange where you're not getting any sort of government help or
right.
government subsidy, and it's going to be more expensive.
Right.
So if you're talking about a consumer product, what's the incentive not to participate in that exchange on the insurance company side because they're going to want to get more customers, and on the customer side, you're going to want to get a better bang for your buck. So it doesn't make any sense why a company wouldn't want to participate or why a consumer wouldn't first go to the exchange and take a look at what's available.
Yep. All right, let's go to Jim in Minneapolis. You're on with Jackie. Hello, Jim.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Go ahead. Morning. Go ahead.
Jackie, I got a buyout from my job last year, and one of the provisions was a lump sum chunk of money to use for medical expenses. And it is tax-free, or it's tax-exempt. I'm wondering, will we lose that tax exemption on something like this?
Oh, that's a good question. I think this has to do with the health savings account, if I'm not mistaken.
It's along those lines.
Yeah, and it's a little complicated, and I would be dishonest if I said that I understood the parameters of what's going on there. It's a little tricky, and what I would recommend is on healthcare.gov, they have all of the information, and you can sort of search for some of those specifics, and it'll give you some information. I think Families USA also does a really good job with that. The Kaiser Family Foundation, there's a lot of websites who have some more particulars, but it does have to do with health savings accounts, and I don't know what happens with that money being available tax-free still.
Okay.
But
well, thank you.
I have to check. No problem.
All right, let's try to get another one in here real quick. Carrie in California, you're on with Jackie. Go ahead. Uh-oh, Carrie, real quick.
Oh, hi. Yes, I am a Kaiser member, and I pay almost $1,000 a month for my insurance. And I'm wondering if there's going to be any relief for people like me. I'm 64 years old. I'm in relatively good health, and I have no issues. So I'm just wondering, how is this going to affect me?
Can I see my premiums coming down?
Yes. That's the answer, yes.
Okay, all right. We love you. See you at the top of the hour.
Love you guys.
All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
While other people were out living their lives, I wasted mine watching TV. Because deep down, I knew it might one day help
Stephanie Miller
save the world.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. We joined the president in progress talking about Egypt.
We've been blamed by supporters of Morsi. We've been blamed by the other side as if we are supporters of Morsi. That kind of approach will do nothing to help Egyptians achieve the future that they deserve. We want Egypt to succeed. We want a peaceful, democratic, prosperous Egypt. That's our interest. But to achieve that, the Egyptians are going to have to do the work. We recognize the change takes time. And that a process like this is never guaranteed. There are examples in recent history of countries that are transitioned out of a military government towards a democratic government, and it did not always go in a straight line, and the process was not always smooth. There are going to be false starts. There will be difficult days. America's democratic journey took us through some mighty struggles to perfect our union. From Asia to the Americas, we know that democratic transitions are measured not in months or even years, but sometimes in generations. So in the spirit of mutual interest and mutual respect, I want to be clear that America wants to be a partner in the Egyptian people's pursuit of a better future, and we are guided by our national interest in this long-standing relationship. But our partnership must also advance the principles that we believe in, and that so many Egyptians have sacrificed for these last several years, no matter what party or faction they belong to. So America will work with all those in Egypt and around the world who support a future of stability that rests on a foundation of justice and peace and dignity. Thank you very much.
What? Why did he say anything about the rodeo clown in Missouri?
What a bastard.
Why won't he lead? Why won't he defend the racist rodeo clown in Missouri? What?
Because that's what's really important.
Can't believe he's not talking about important issues today. Secretary of State.
Racist rodeo clown was a jackass.
John Kerry. Yes.
The United States strongly condemns today's violence and bloodshed across Egypt. It's a serious blow to reconciliation and the Egyptian people's hopes for a transition towards democracy and inclusion.
And then he talked about the Egyptian revolution as well, John Kerry, yesterday.
The promise of the 2011 revolution has simply never been fully realized. And the final outcome of that revolution is not yet decided. It will be shaped in the hours ahead, in the days ahead. It will be shaped by the decisions which all of Egypt's political leaders make now and in these days ahead.
Let me guess, well-known Southern Belle Lindsey Graham has the vapors over this?
He does.
Because it's clearly the president's fault, as always.
Exactly.
From Benghazi to Cairo to Damascus, we're to Baghdad, we're failing across the board. Obama's foreign policy is not working. The Mideast is literally in flames, and the biggest prize of all is Egypt. And if we lose Egypt, if Egypt becomes a failed, fractured state, I just cannot imagine what Israel's future looks like.
I see. And it was so peaceful, the Middle East, until the president screwed it all up.
Everything was all working out fine.
Right.
Until that guy came.
That one. All right. Kevin in D.C. on the real important issue this morning. That would be the racist rodeo clown in Missouri. Hello, Kevin.
Good morning, Alabaster Angel.
Hello.
Tell you, even though, of course, I know you guys are coming back sooner than later on TV, I am somewhat a bit verklempt. Even a one-day break between me making to see your lovely vice, it's just too much, but what can you do?
Chris will throw up some Ustream cameras with some Vaseline on them.
Yes.
So I'll look even better.
She'll look just like Sybil Shepherd.
Exactly.
Well, I just want to quickly say I appreciate with that incident and Zimmerman and the Voting Rights Act being gutted, there's a lot for people of my shade to be angry about. But when I listen to you and your various listeners and your guest stars, like the hot breeze you called out yesterday was outstanding.
Yeah.
It makes me know that the lunatic stays are numbered. They're like the dinosaurs making the biggest thrash before they go extinct. It's going to take a while. But it bucks me up and makes me know that the logical, sane people outweigh the idiots. And I want to take a personal quick thing to say that thank you. I mean, I know you're not going anywhere, but as far as your the video.
What, am I dying? Or
no.
I'm going to be off camera
this
for a
couple
weeks.
It's like having a wake while you're still alive.
Okay, of course. But I just want to thank you for the.
Get in the casket. Stop moving.
Listen.
He's
going to harvest my organs in a minute. Yeah. Wait a minute, what?
No, but you know, after all these years, no one loves you like I do. If you would have told me that a slender fart joke telling radio host would affect me this way, I would have said, please put down the crack. But it has happened.
Yeah, because we know you would get a harsher sentence than some other people, if you know what I'm saying.
A little bit. Just a little bit. And it's,
my Mandingo warrior.
Oh, thank you, Alabama Danger. I can't wait for you to go back and screen. And at the rate we've been going, I mean, I get closer and closer getting my ultimate dream. The next time you come to see, heck, I might be actually get to impregnate you at this point.
That is true.
Well, miracles can happen. Anyway. All right, you wanted to say something about the rodeo clown thing before.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was just, I mean, it actually, what Jim said earlier is like, the demanding that Obama defend this and all that, I can't believe these people around me. I believe there's a rush to drug lush, but Peggy Noonan's column, you're in this business, you hear Scuttlebutt more than I do. Do you really think she was serious that he should be more classy? It's like if you punch me and you vitally abuse me and insult me, and I'm supposed to be classy and just take and say, thank you, may I have another?
Yeah, the president is failing to lead by not explaining how really funny minstrel shows are. That we're being,
thank you, sir, may I have another?
Right, overly PC liberals, I guess.
So clearly, that's just they're not serious. I know that some of their audience buys this crap, but they're not really serious. They're just being a troll, right? Where you pretend you take ridiculous statements, or you make ridiculous statements, or you take ridiculous positions just to get rise out of people, because they can't be serious thinking that he should defend that.
Yeah, well, I knew that it was going there when Rush Limbaugh blamed him for diminishing the presidency by going on Tonight Show, which I think pretty much every other president has done as well. But, yeah, whatever. Okay, Mike in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Steph. How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, I am a hospice nurse, and I live in Florida. I live just outside of Sanford, and I have 1,000 right-wing friends that hated Obama all through the election. I got defriended on Facebook. Mm-hmm. But when I show up at their house, all of a sudden their demeanor changed. They love the Affordable Health Care Act because it can save their parents' life or save their friend's life. And it's just crazy that everybody's so negative about it until they find out what it's actually about.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, well, exactly. And that's why we'll continue to hopefully have Jackie on for Healthcare Corners, because it's a really critical time with all this starting in the fall. They're really getting desperate to keep spreading this this misinformation.
Yep.
All right. Michael Tomosky, who we just had on this week, who I want to date and kiss to marry. I hope he's okay with the whole Jackie thing.
I wonder what the lovely and talented Mrs. Tomosky thinks about all this.
Who cares?
If there is one. Have we determined that?
Who cares? Who cares? He has written a cautionary tale today. Hillary 2016 brings back Boomer Clinton rage. Oh, dear God.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have Clinton derangement syndrome part two. He writes, there are already signs Hillary's presidential campaign will dredge up the weird, obsessive hatred the Boomer left developed for the Clintons in the 1990s. See, I'm gonna be called a Clinton apologist soon.
Yep.
But this time, their derision will only have the power to do one thing, help her win. He said, I'm quite looking forward to Hillary Clinton being president of the United States. I think she'll probably run. I think she will probably win. And I think she'll be at least a good and maybe a great president. What I'm not particularly looking forward to is the process by which she'll have to get there.
They'll probably try to impeach her during the first debate.
Yeah, exactly. Just in the past few days, Maureen Dowd and Richard Cohen have laid before us in the form of two recent and silly columns, little reminders of the prejudice against Clinton within a certain slice of the liberal chattering class, a prejudice that will swell predictably as she passes the various posts that stand between her and the nomination and finally election. Fortunately, these chatterers are less and less relevant every election. Clinton should welcome their animus. It can only help her. There was another piece I was talking about this. If she has a problem, it's going to be on the left. And I'm like, if we screw this up, seriously, and end up with a President Cruz or Senator Paul, I will. Oh. Anyway, and he makes the difference. He was talking about back in the 90s. He said there seemed to be many people to be. There was little truly at stake in our politics. He was just talking about. He said one of our two major parties hadn't yet lost its collective mind. This was the historical era when many center liberals decided it was cooler to bash liberalism than conservatism. And that's what I'm afraid of. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to end up with a Captain Crazy Pants as president.
Oh, God.
Jim in Akron.
President Cruz.
Oh, just say it several times. Jim in Akron, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Jim.
Hey, hello. Does anybody remember not too long ago when a gentleman, it might have been even here in my own home state, a guy had a dartboard in his basement with a picture of George Bush on it. And him and his buddies would get together and throw darts at it all the time. And I guess it went internet. They took a picture of him and his friends in front of it and then went on the internet. Well, next thing you know, the Secret Service showed up to his house, mm-hmm. confiscated the dartboard, took him, interrogated him, harassed his family, and then basically told him, don't do it again. Now, I don't know what these Republicans part of. You know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. These guys got to learn to grow up and take the good with the bad.
Mm-hmm. Ah, I see. Yeah. I was going to say, and that's like in your basement. This was a public event that obviously a lot of people were
suddenly
offended.
They're not interested in.
Yeah, and they were stirring, the announcer was stirring up the crowd like it was, you know.
Klan rally?
Well, a Klan rally, or, you know, the Romans going after the Christians with lions.
Yeah, exactly. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like her? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Sexy Little Hal Sparks coming up in hour number 3. This hour brought to you by Carbonite. All right, let's go to June in Atlanta. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, June.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello, go ahead.
Listen, I want to say this because I am so peed off with Fox, okay? And what happened, what they did, how they depict the president at the rodeo and how the Republicans on Fox is calling the president out as being a whiner. You know, they insulted this president with bigotry. You know, they used that broomstick as a monkey tail to put on the president, and then they try to act like they did. What bigotry? What are you talking about?
Right.
And the
right.
Republicans, they're pissing me off because they're using, the corporates is using bigotry to attract positions in the government by having the idiots that support, that vote for them. This is how they're controlling Congress.
June, you know, it's like they treat the rest of us like we're stupid. You know, the other cons playing with the lips on the Obama mask. It's like, you know, everyone that was there knew what it was. It was a minstrel show, and it was, even if it had not been about the president, it would have been horribly offensive. But, you know, the fact that it was also, you know, implying violence against the president of the United States was on top of it. Who wants to see the bull run down Obama? I mean, it's just, it's, you know.
Being violent. And you're right. It was a minstrel show. That's a better word for it.
Yeah. No, exactly. And everybody that saw it knew what it was. Anyway. Yeah. I love that's the real outrage. According to Rush Limbaugh, is Republicans having any decency in Missouri and putting a lifetime ban on the clown and whatever.
Whatever.
Really? I haven't heard Rush Limbaugh so passionate about anything in quite some time.
I know.
God. All right. By the by, at least one story like this a day. Tragedy. Gun story. Mm. Prescott Valley man killed. His wife hands him his shotgun. Gary Wingate was in the residence with his wife. The wife reported he wanted her to hand him his 12-gauge shotgun. She told investigators she was not comfortable handling a firearm, but did what her husband asked her. In the process, the gun discharged and struck him in the upper torso. The police sergeant there said it seems like they were meant to take the shotgun out this weekend on a trip, and he wanted her to get more familiar with it. In June, he pointed out a 4-year-old boy accidentally shot his father after finding a loaded weapon in a friend's home. He cited two other recent incidents in which people shot themselves while cleaning firearms. More guns, always the best solution for every gun situation.
The entire Bill of Rights is pretty much gone, except for the Second Amendment.
Yes.
That one's
The Fourth Amendment.
Any you know, nut job wants to buy a truckload of assault weapons and a million rounds to go, you're fine, good. Yeah. Go with that.
That's constitutional.
Good to go. I'm guessing, were they incredibly empathetic toward Jesse Jackson Jr. on Fox News?
Oh, God, no.
Okay. Former Representative Jesse Jackson Jr. was sentenced to 30 months behind bars, and his wife, Sandy, got a year in prison for separate felonies involving the misspending of about $750,000 in campaign funds. They'll be allowed to serve their sentences one at a time, with Jackson going first, because of obviously they have
the kids.
Two kids. Jesse Jackson Jr.
I still believe in the power of forgiveness. I believe in the power of redemption. Today I manned up and tried to accept responsibility for the errors of my ways. And I still believe in the resurrection.
Oh, dear. Jesse Jackson.
Did he compare himself to Jesus?
I don't think he meant that. He's a religious person. Jesse Jackson Sr.
This has been a very painful journey for our family.
A lot of Christian people, Chris, mean that as,
I know.
They mean in general and not anyway. By the way, this is for you. Alert, Chris. Major proof atheists are smarter than religious people.
Hell to the yeah.
A new review that, just witnessed that snarky comment about Jesse Jackson Jr.
Let me say this. I do not mean that about his religion. I'm like, did he compare himself to Jesus or not?
No, I don't think that's what he meant. I don't think he meant that.
Okay.
A new review of 63 scientific studies stretching back over decades have concluded that religious people are less intelligent than non-believers. Uh-oh. Cue right-wing freakout. A piece of University of Rochester analysis found a reliable negative relation between intelligence and religiosity in 53 of 63 studies. Yikes.
Mm-hmm.
According to one study, even during the early years, the more intelligent a child is, the more likely it would be to turn away from religion. This is going to make the right-wing freakout on this study. In old age, above-average intelligence people are less likely to believe as well, the researchers also found.
Yeah. I, you know what, I don't take this seriously, because I know plenty of very religious people who are also very smart, and I respect them very highly.
Just not Steve King. Okay. Well, sorry.
You know, Steve King, as a person, is an idiot.
Right.
You know,
right.
It probably has
nothing to do with his religiosity.
I take people as they come. I don't take them, as a group.
Right. All right, here is some good news. The Department of Defense announced on Wednesday a plan to extend spousal benefits to married gay couples beginning this fall. Starting in September, married same-sex couples will receive the same benefits and privileges as opposite-sex couples, like health care, housing, family leave, and compensation for their dependents.
But when will the gays apologize to the rodeo clown?
Right, that's the real issue. Huh? What now? By the by, this is going to be bad for fear of commitment people everywhere, because you only get the benefits if you're married, gay or straight.
Right.
So... just saying, everybody. All right. Bradley Manning has apologized for hurting America. And he said, "I'm sorry my actions hurt people. I'm sorry it hurt the United States." In some interesting other stuff, he said that his private struggle with his gender identity in a hostile workplace put incredible pressure on him. Manning eventually came out to Captain Michael Worsley and emailed the therapist a photo of himself wearing a wig of long blonde hair and lipstick. The photo was attached to a letter saying, "My problem," in which Manning describes his issues with gender identity and his hope that a military career would get rid of it.
Mm.
That's
a tough struggle, but I don't know that
It would cause you to leave.
Yeah, I don't know that it's an excuse for what he did.
Yeah, exactly. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, we'll get Hal Sparks' take on that and everything else we're talking about this morning. It's not hump days, but it's the day after hump days, close enough.
Thump day.
Right, with Hal.
Sure.
Next on the Stephanie Miller Show. Funny. The chat room wants to know if it's going to be like the final scene of the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Yeah.
We're all hugging and crying, and then we all go get tissues together. No, because Jim's here. There's no
crying. And the radio show is continuing on.
Yes, of course. And we will have a new television outlet. We just can't tell you yet.
And on your Facebook page, I posted up a whole bunch of ways that you can get the radio show. So just go to the Stephanie Miller. Go to Facebook.com/Stephanie Miller Show, and there's a list of all the ways you can get the radio version.
We
of the
highly
show.
Suggest the podcast. Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. To continue to support the Stephanie Miller Show. Wouldn't that be magical?
That would be lovely.
Yes, indeed. Speaking of love letters, real quick. Before we go to our close personal friend. Yes, Catherine from California, Steph and the Mooks, please email me where I can, tell me the location of your new television venue without having to kill me. I cannot go a day without seeing your cantaloupe calves, Jim's Mark O'Mara impression, or Chris's muscles. Catherine, you are just going to have to wait. We cannot tell you yet. We have a few options we are considering. Our deal with Current was until September 1st.
Mm-hmm.
We are on vacation the first week in September, and then as soon as we possibly can tell you where the new television outlet is, we will. But guess who's filling in for our first week in September?
Steffi.
Let's have heavy breathing I hear. Why? Could it be?
Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Good morning, Hal Sparks.
Mm-hmm. Hi there.
Hi.
How are you?
Who overslept on our last day on Current, Hal Sparks?
I know. I just couldn't do it. The idea of just getting all made up. You know how dolled up I get when I'm on the show.
Yeah.
I do. Who's a little sleepy pants?
I know.
And for Hal, it's like the last episode of Newhart where he woke up next to Suzanne.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah,
I woke up this morning and I dreamt that this was the IMA show. and that you've been canceled from MSNBC for wearing headphones while being filmed. It was weird.
All right. We know how cute you normally are, but when you're sleepy and blinky, I imagine it's almost unbearable.
Oh, it's all puffy and cuddly. I think where's my blankie? I just had it a second ago. It was right here.
Where is your blankie?
It's actually right. I'm pointing at it, but no one can see it because I'm not there. Hi.
All right. We were just talking about Bradley Manning yesterday apologized for hurting America. It's interesting. We've obviously been in this whole discussion about the NSA and mm-hmm. about Snowden and about Manning and about all of that. And I'm not unsympathetic to his talking about the pressure of being gay in the workplace and all of that, but I think Chris just said that. I don't think that's an excuse, is it, for leaking, gazillion documents involving our national security?
No, of course not. And I think that's, it's actually a bit weird as kind of an adjunct to it. I think here's just the reality. I think Manning and Snowden don't belong in the same conversation most times. And I think Bradley Manning's release of the video of the Reuters reporter being shot specifically, I think, is clearly a whistleblowing activity. And deserve to be handled as such. The problem with Bradley Manning and why he apologized ultimately is he released 700,000 documents of material he did not even vet himself.
Yeah.
And he gave it to someone that he, I think, believed in slightly charismatically in the form of Julian Assange. And I think WikiLeaks said, we're only going to put the stuff out that I think is germane to a crime. And they accidentally, on purpose, released all of it. And not all of it was evidence of crime. Not all of it was evidence of, lies of the United States. As a matter of fact, a large majority of it was. And a good portion of it was just kind of normal classified secret material that other people don't need to see. And pertains to the safety of both troops and operators in Afghanistan, covert ops all over the world. And that's what he was apologizing for, I think. The problem with Manning and Snowden, arguably, and here I go put them in the same category, is that they both brought up very important points specifically that qualifies whistleblowing, but in the process also did abstract dumps of information that don't pertain, that don't necessarily, make people aware of a crime, don't make it any, safer for the rest of us, don't let the American people know what's been going on in their name. It's just abstract dumps of information. How is that different from what the NSA does? The NSA is just capturing data without any regard for what's actually in it first, basically scooping up everybody's stuff, not caring to focus on actual crimes. Then that's arguably what Snowden did and what Manning did in that respect. While they're looking for something that should be taken seriously,
Snowden doesn't have the ability to incarcerate people.
But in his release of material, he certainly has the ability to endanger lives.
Yeah, right. And probably did.
You don't have to. I think what you mean is the New York Times doesn't have the ability to come and bust you, or Google doesn't. If you steal material from Google, you can't necessarily get arrested for it directly, but you can be sued into oblivion. There is some recourse in that.
You know, and Hal, we had Mike Tomosky on this week, who I think did a good piece on the fact that, you know, talking about what the president's comments on all this, and it is provable that he gave a speech in May foreshadowing all of this stuff he's doing now. So, you know, and he said, and I agree, Snowden is not a patriot. We were going to have this discussion in a way that would not have endangered national security. And, and he said the president is the only president in his lifetime, he remembers, that has willingly given up executive power. And the two of the things that he's talked about are really big deals. And that's a narrowing of the Patriot Act and FISA not having an adversarial voice in the court.
Right. And we also find that all this attention has been put on the president to be kind of singularly responsible for all intelligence programs put in place under the Bush administration that have been continued on underneath. And we find out that the committee in charge of that particular program, and specifically the re-upping of the Patriot Act, hid a memo from, you know, I think 63 different House members that should have been made aware of, a review paper that was written specifically for people not on that committee, so they would know what was going on. So they would be aware of what was really going on with things like PRISM and the like. And they were denied the ability to look at that by the committee in the House. Now, I can't remember who runs the House right now, if it's a Democrat or a Libertarian. There's a liberal that runs the House right now, and there are a bunch of people who are... How's the House go again? I forget. Anyway, the point is, all sarcasm aside...
I see.
Yeah.
Is that what you're implying there?
Yes. While the president is calling for a review of these programs in May... the House is denying House members paperwork that they have the right to see, you know, in 2011 by law, to manipulate them into re-upping the Patriot Act as is.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, you've said this before on the show that I do think we need to look at the Patriot Act, and this would be a significant narrowing of, you know, and the first narrowing of it.
I would, aside from the fact that, you know, of a government shutdown to do it, I'm a big fan of doing to the Patriot Act what apparently Republicans only care to do to Obamacare, which is very bizarre to me, strip the whole thing out, replace it. You know, go through, if there are singular issues of communication between intelligence services that are necessary to the safety of the United States, then narrowly define that and make sure it's got a chute that it can go through that's very easy to for the relevant committees to pay attention to.
Yeah.
But what happens is the Patriot Act is 1,000 pages bigger than Obamacare, was passed under duress and fear, has all these kind of overlapping problems. You can't even read sections of it, that kind of stuff. But the Republican House has not voted 40 times to repeal the Patriot Act, regardless of their libertarian, freedom, Second Amendment-loving, Agenda 21-fearing, Glenn Beck-praising selves. They couldn't care less about the Patriot Act. It's the fact that 30 million Americans might get health care and survive to give them a run for their money in the marketplace.
So, Hal Sparks, gay adjacent Hal Sparks, as you know, California Supreme Court, gay marriage, it's here to stay in California. California Supreme Court unanimously rejected an attempt to revive Prop 8, ending the pending legal challenges. So, interesting, we were just doing a story, the Pentagon has just announced same-sex couples for the first time will get full benefits, and yet we have this thing going on in Russia, and us trying to figure out how what is the best way to take a stand against that.
Well, I athletes work their whole lives to get to the Olympics. And so to allow Russia's bigotry to stop people from, to just kind of shut it off and do a soft boycott by not watching and trying to drive down advertising to get the Olympics to pay attention is, A, it probably won't work. There's enough people to make up the slack in the world. And B, it won't certainly push Russia to change, just because groups of us didn't watch the Olympics in that regard. It has to be done through voice. It can't be done through silence. It can't be done through passivity of that. And, boycotts are past protests in other ways. They are no longer going to do this. And Pepsi can't be aware that if you stop buying their products very long, unless it's a massive amount of stuff, I don't think this is going to shift the Olympic committee's attitudes towards anything unless they get outcry after outcry.
Your voice is a little wonky. We thought that was a bad word.
Well, I think he's on his cell phone and dropped down on the F of shift.
Shift. Okay. Let's do a quick one with Hal.
I have very strong feelings about it, but I didn't swear.
Okay.
Thank you. Jill in Ithaca, you're on with Hal on the Bradley Manning apology. Hello, Jill.
Hello. I appreciate Hal's morning voice.
Sultry.
And I guess he pulled a Roker by oversleeping.
Yes.
Anyway, Bradley Manning, I think he has already served quite a lot of time. When they first took him in, he was tortured. I mean, he had to stand naked 23 hours a day, things like that. Humane rights groups had to get up and protest what was going on to that young man. I think he was generally well-intentioned, and
I agree with you about in regard to first of all that his treatment was cruel and unusual. I have no question about that, and I think there may be legal recourse directly to that behavior. It's hard to tell because of military courts. They're pretty watery in that world, and that's fairly scary. But it's again what happens when you take an oath and you just kind of hand your body and self over to them. That being said. I think you're right as far as time served regarding to the video and the release of it, if you want to talk about that as a singular charge. The problem was, and I think why Manning was upset himself and why he kind of did the apology in that regard, is in the release of those 700,000 documents, he abstractly is dumping secrets in a way that he is aware, whether he likes it or not, or whether that was his intention or not, specifically America's both enemies and what would be sort of soft allies, people who we're not fighting with, but definitely don't have our best interests at heart, see Russia, Iran, and Syria. He knowingly knew that if he put that stuff out, they would get it, and he didn't vet it himself, and he handed it over to people who didn't.
Yeah, know. And you can't, you can't say you can't, that can't be punished. I mean, it just
right
because
then you've got legal precedent for nobody's ever punished for it. And at what point? Again, at a certain point, you have to go. Did Scooter Libby deserve to go to jail under that precedent? And was the outing of Valerie Plame somehow made valid by the fact that Cheney believed that the oil interests of the United States are germane to our security interests, and therefore anything I do to secure oil in the world is therefore to secure the
It was my point about Snowden. You can't say that like handing flash drives to China is in the United States' best interest. I mean, has he raised issues that the president had already raised and we were going to address? Yes, but anyway,
maybe they were gag flash drives.
Right.
Right. They were hilarious.
Hal, can you stay tuned, little sleepyhead?
Absolutely.
All right. Yay. We're gonna
try to improve my audio.
we're gonna keep Mr. Sleepy Pants over 20 minutes after the hour. Back with more Thump Days with Hal
for the rest of his shift. I said shift.
Shift.
Right here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun for ages 8 to 80. Join us.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. And the card
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Yes, thank you to all our current TV friends.
Yes.
Our last day on current TV, Larry in Oak Ridge. Dear Stephan, I am the one that sacrificed my virginity to a statue of you. Nicely done, sir. Nicely done.
What?
Nicely done.
A statue of you?
I expect that kind of devotion. Are you coming back to Portland? Oh, I don't know if Sexy Liberal is going to Portland, but there will be a West Coast show.
What?
That has not yet been announced. And speaking of which, Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks, who will also be filling in for us the first week in September on the radio
it's
show.
It's true.
Hello.
Hi. Now, is it better? Does it sound okay?
Do yes.
Sound
right?
Oh, good. Okay. I airlifted my vocal cords into a small golden case that allows me to speak before noon. It's a comedian's illness. So you just,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. So we were talking about the NSA stuff before the break here. Hang on one second. We have one more. Peter in Chicago, you are on with Hal. Hello, Peter.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. I guess my opinion on the whole Edward Snowden and Bradley Manning thing, it seems to me that the media has done a pretty good job on getting Edward Snowden to kind of look like he's a coward. He pretty much, you know, gave away whatever he had and ran. And where I kind of have a disagreement on that. When you figure a guy like Bradley Manning that is being held in a small room, confined room, solitary confinement, naked for about a year. I mean, if it was me, I probably wouldn't want to stick around for for something like that myself.
Well, Bradley Manning was a military prisoner in that regard. You know, there is a different standard. I mean, I think how he was held was horrible, but Snowden had no reason to believe that or expectation that he would be held in the same manner. And his recourse as a civilian would have been higher for review.
Yeah, and also how, I mean, as somebody pointed out, this president has been the best on whistleblower protection of any president that's held the office. I mean, you know, it's just...
What the statistic you hear over and over and over again is that this president has prosecutions of whistleblowers or leaks have gone up 700% under this president. This is what you'll keep hearing, that Obama's horrible on it from a lot of people, meaning that six people were prosecuted for this behavior under Obama, and one person was under Bush. That's because there are a couple reasons. One is the Bush administration was actively participating in the kind of linking that should have been punished. They
right.
didn't. They would. They actively tried to stop Scooter Libby from going to
Right. It was the
jail.
Administration that was leaking. Exactly.
Right.
It was
exactly.
Dick Cheney that was leaking.
Yeah.
Right.
And the Obama
right.
administration comes in. They're wanting to shift policy in Afghanistan, how we're dealing with the Israeli-Palestinian peace discussions, all sorts of stuff dealing with the G8. And a lot of the leaks that are coming were, of the seven, were either things that were had a way of being handled through normal political channels and just simply were not, or they had a bone to pick policy-wise. We think the president should be doing something else than he's doing. Well, that's not the reason to leak something. The reason to leak something is a crime is being committed in the name of the American people, and they don't know it, and they need to know it. And there's evidence of it that's being suppressed, and I have access to it. That's Pentagon Papers stuff. And all leaks are not the Pentagon Papers. They don't all
right.
qualify
mm-hmm.
for anything. And so using a statistical presentation of it is totally not helpful to the circumstance or the conversation.
We love you, Mr. Sleepy Pants. We will see you next
yes.
week.
I insist.
All
okay.
right. Love you. There he goes. HowSparks.com, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I found you on TV. You look good on TV.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. And apparently, I'm not only on my own show today, I just made Glenn Beck's show.
What?
According to Taylor in Kentucky. Hi, Taylor.
Hello, my love.
Hello.
I hate to admit, I surf channels during commercials, and you made the Glenn Beck program this morning.
Uh-oh.
Really? Uh-oh. I shudder to ask. In what way?
They was talking about the rodeo clown incident, and how you said it was racist. And according to Glenn Beck, that is free speech. And you don't like that kind of free
speech.
Oh,
I see. Oh. Right. Right. Yes.
No, the rodeo clown had an absolute right to do
yes,
that.
Yes, and he also has the right to get fired for
exactly.
being a racist douche.
And we have the right to call him a racist douche.
And I would like to have the right to do that thing with the broom, Tim.
Hey! All right, Taylor. Thank you. Hey, he should love me. I advertised for his... What's his stupid Glenn Becky stand? That
Glenn
place.
Becky stand?
Right. I'm probably getting a lot more customers to his crazy town.
With the amusement park. The roller coaster without the lap bar.
We made an Correct. Homage to his lovely phone manner that he has with his callers. I don't know if Taylor's ever called his show, however. Christine in Cleveland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Christine, welcome.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hugs and kisses to all.
Thank you.
Can I be the official passive protester of Vlad the Appaller?
Please.
Well, I just want to say that I will not be watching the Olympics, and I wish, you know, the very best to all of our athletes. But when I heard this was going on in Russia, I just couldn't. I immediately said, nope, can't use the N-word, can't watch the Olympics.
Right.
And my opinion or suggestion would be that the world's national teams should carry, you know, LGBT flags, you know, at the opening and closing ceremonies, or wear
right.
pins or rainbow armbands, something, you know, to promote, you know, the way they are
That'd
feeling.
Be- The awesome, wouldn't it, if every nation flew the rainbow flag in addition
oh my
to
God,
their country's flag?
Oh, my God, if I could afford it, I'd send everybody some.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, that would be a good way to spend money. And just, you know, the nations of the world need to come together on this human rights issue.
Yeah.
It's not about the athletes. It's not about the Olympics. It's,
right.
I mean, it's about human rights. And people really need to get a clue.
Yeah. Is the N-word that you won't use nudniks? They are nudniks for
That's
their
it.
Homophobia?
Nudges.
Right.
Nudges.
Exactly. All right.
They're noogies.
Exactly. They deserve noogies. What? All right. Oh, looky here. It's another love letter.
Oh.
Jody from New Jersey. Staff, up until a little over a year ago, I never knew your special brand of bland. Some mornings it is, depending on how hungover I am.
Yeah.
Brand of political humor existed. One day I stumbled upon your TV show on Current, although I'm not a small business owner and someone who likes to listen to both sides, or a brain surgeon prepping for surgery. I'm a simple high school teacher who's pretty passionate about politics and laughter. From the second I watched, I was totally passionately forever hooked on you and the Mooks. Since that terrible day when I heard Al Jazeera had bought the station, knew you and some of my other new passions like John Fugelsang. Would no longer be part of the lineup. She has a sad. She is a sad panda.
Aww.
I know that said you will be somewhere else. I do have Sirius in the meantime. Sirius Radio, Sirius XM. We're on live all 3 hours.
Progress 127.
Right. So
write
I feel,
that down.
I feel comfortable. I will be able to continue to be exposed to your melodious voice and sharp wit on a daily basis. That said, I would like to take the opportunity to say a big thank you to Al Gore, although I was mad at hell as him for selling the network for a good long while. Oh, not us.
Oh,
we've always
weren't.
Been supportive. Just kidding.
We thank him for putting us on in the first place.
We do. We thank Current and Al Gore for the opportunity. Thanks to Gore and Current TV, you've exposed to many more of us than were previously. We were clueless as to your charms. Resistance is futile.
Sure.
Resistance is futile.
I used to think I'd be forever indebted to him for an inconvenient truth only. However, it's now apparent the biggest gift to me and many others is the unleashing of the Stephanie Miller Show onto the airwaves. Carry on, sister, wherever you go. I will certainly follow. Love you with the White House. Jody, we love you, too.
That and the Macarena.
Follow us at Stephanie Miller Show on Twitter,
yep.
On Facebook, and you will know where our new TV outlet will be in September as soon as we have made a final decision.
It's at SM Show.
Right.
Yes, not Stephanie Miller Show on Twitter.
You know I'm on it all day. All right. Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks, as I was saying, filling in for us the first week in September when we're on vacation. Speaking of sexy liberals, Aisha Tyler, whom we love, sexy liberal.
Yes.
Our good friend.
I love that thing. Things
yes.
you don't know about her.
Well, she's hosting the new, I can't even get her booked on the show anymore. She's way too popular.
Yeah.
But I promote her stuff anyway. because
absolutely.
I love her. Because I love her. She is the new host of Whose Line Is It Anyway? And for Us Magazine, wow. she has told us 25 things you don't know about me. I don't have time to read all the fun facts, but some of them are hilarious.
And some of them we did not know.
And even though she is my BFF, I did not know these.
Does she know you, that you're her BFF?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, actually, she says her oldest, dearest friend is a guy. Oh. I'm not her oldest, dearest friend.
Okay.
I was the best man at his wedding, she says. I was a whitewater rafting guide in high school.
Wow.
I got a lot of people very wet.
Well, I'll bet.
In high school, I followed a boy I liked into an improv class. That boy was Sam Rockwell.
Wow.
The actor.
Very cool.
My closet, desk, car, and office are extremely neat. I even dust my refrigerator.
Oh, yikes.
I was a snowboarding instructor in college. I got a lot of people very cold. I use the phrase, that's what she said, daily. I've seen Die Hard more times than is wholesome. When I smile, my chin sharpens into a point.
It kind of does.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I have ridiculously tiny toes for a woman so large.
I've never seen her toes.
That is totes adorbs.
Mm-hmm. Je ne savais pas qu'elle parle parfaitement français.
Mm-hmm.
I have met Barack Obama 3 times.
Uh-huh.
We know that because she's the one that told us that he smells like...
cookies and freedom, bitches.
That was before she said, eat my gravel soup.
Bitches.
Right. She ends every sentence almost with...
bitches.
Right. I eat peanut butter every day.
Good for her.
And finally, I have never been in a fist fight. That said, do not test me.
She will win.
She will not a bitch. She indeed will.
She'll hit you with her snowboard.
She has a rather long reach.
We have learned so much from her. For instance, that black people melt in the rain. We did not know that previously.
We did not know that.
Right?
Yep.
Also, well, what was... oh, that's boogity boogity cheese, of course, came from that when they operate on your brain.
Mm-hmm. Right. They touch a certain part of your brain and...
you're awake.
Yeah,
you're awake during brain surgery.
You'll have local anesthetic.
Right, because they need to know if they touch the wrong part, and they know they touch the wrong part because you will say...
boogity boogity cheese.
Boogity boogity cheese. Exactly. That's the word they're looking for.
That's the safe word.
Right, it's like the operation game. It's the safe word.
Yes.
That's that part. Sorry.
Boogity boogity fromage en français.
Do you think the surgeon apologizes since you are awake? Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
My bad. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Hit the wrong...
you hit the funny ball.
Ha, ha, ha.
Water on the knee I always went for first because it had the handle.
Right, it was easy.
Yeah.
That was easy.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. All right. By the way, you can also see me on the CNN television network pretty much every day, unless there's breaking news, on Aaron Burnett out front at 4:45 Pacific, 7:45
usually with Dean Obadalla.
Yes, my buddy, my pal that we have on the radio show.
So Aaron Burnett out front and you in back? Is that the end?
Oh, my God.
Every time I say I'm on Aaron Burnett, he does the same
she's
gross
kind of
noise.
She
he does that same...
she's a Republican hottie.
I'm in my own box, Jim.
Ah.
Because I'm on the West Coast, so I'm in the box right next to her.
Right.
I'm not in her box.
Of course.
Oh, anyway.
I'm glad you clarified that.
Thank you. I fear I've only made it worse. Anyway, last night we did this. I don't know if you saw this new JCPenney ad. Parents are slamming JCPenney on Facebook, an ad that allegedly encourages bullying. It really is awful. It is very Lord of the Flies. The mom in the ad says explains the importance of getting their kids cool JCPenney clothes.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I've been told the stuff can make or break your entire year. To drill the point in, the woman's son is shown in, surrounded laughing by friends, presumably in his cool clothes, and then sitting alone at the cafeteria table, awkwardly looking for someone to hang out with. It's very Lord of the Flies. He's clearly going to be killed with a rock next. He has glasses. But it's, first of all, it's classist, because, like, you know, not every kid can afford new clothes every season. And secondly, yeah, parents have angrily taken to JCPenney's Facebook page, maligning the company that they encourages bullying and classism. Yeah, it's just snotty. It's unnecessary.
Yeah, I know. But JCPenney has also done a lot of good in their advertising. They featured a lot of same-sex parents.
They resisted the million moms
with
who
Ellen?
Wanted them to get rid of Ellen.
Right.
Yes.
They've had same-sex parents in their ads, you know, parenting kids who are wearing JCPenney clothing. So
million moms who have protested both Ellen DeGeneres and Sweaty Balls ice cream.
Million moms who are probably a dozen moms, really.
Right.
It's
right.
One mom in her mom's basement.
Ah. And as I've pointed out many times, if you do not like lesbians or sweaty balls,
who do you
what like? Do you like?
Right.
And how might we serve you?
Who do you love?
Exactly.
All right. My point is, yeah, but no, I just thought, I think school's hard enough. I will never forget the horror of the day my mother let down my Catholic girl uniform skirt like 10 inches without telling me. The horror. The horror, the humiliation of when you're wearing the wrong clothes. It was probably the day Carol Fisher pushed me through the bushes at the Y. Let's not bring it up now.
Or when Roman...
School is hard enough!
Roman Gomez looked at me during silent reading period and just whispered, "You're fat."
I love your husky voice story so much.
I cried. I did.
I don't remember my bullies. I just,
no?
Meh.
Well, that's the best revenge, Jim. Nicely done. Nicely done. I'm not thinking about you.
Some of them had accidents. Some of them stepped on a bag of Vipers.
Some of them got hit with bags of glee.
Sure.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it! I don't get it, but I love it!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I get it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. This hour brought to you by SodaStream. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Mark in North Carolina. Oh, we've started childhood bullying stories. Hello, Mark.
Yes, I'm afraid so. First of all, I want to thank you for having Richard Belzer on and letting him talk about the crazy conspiracy stuff.
But anyway, we love the Bells.
I'm actually motivated to call you because I got beat up as a kid because my parents went to JCPenney and bought me clothes there. I mean, it was like they had the get your kids beat up section and they buy the clothes there. It was like, what?
Ironic.
I had it bad as a kid, I gotta say.
So ironically, that was not the cool clothes back then.
It was not back then, no.
Wow. I apologize for bringing up everybody's childhood bullying
stories. I remember going to school in tough skins from Sears.
Yeah, we've heard that.
Those were made of pure plastic.
Right.
They were not comfortable.
I remember having a pair
on a hot day. Wow.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I remember having a pair of powder blue corduroys.
I had some of those too, and they were bell bottoms in the 70s.
I had some psychedelic bell bottoms in the 60s.
You could like make a campfire between your legs if they were.
Zip, zop, zip, zop, zip, zop.
Right. Looked like I was auditioning for the Monkees.
Okay, everybody, Prince has finally tweeted for the first time.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. That's it. That's all he said.
No, that's not all he said. He tweeted a picture of his salad.
No, his first tweet was Prince's first tweet, testing 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
His second tweet was Prince's second tweet.
Yeah.
His third tweet was a picture of his salad.
Sorry, what? His salad?
His salad.
Salad.
Okay.
Twitter's just sad. That being said, you should follow us on Twitter so you can find out where our new TV at home
is. Yes, you can follow Stephanie at SM Show. You can follow me at Radio Guy Chris.
There you go. All right, speaking of tweets, you know, normally it's for Fuse, right?
Right.
Lady Gaga and Cher were in a sweet tweet fest. Sweet tweet.
Aw. I wonder if Dana Loesch and I could ever have a sweet tweet fest.
No, oh dear God, no. Nice. I wonder if she and Prince tweeted back and forth. You can't. All right.
Sorry.
The two singers have just recorded a duet, The Greatest Thing, which surfaced online on Tuesday, much to their chagrin. They tweeted it wasn't the right version, and Cher was ticked off that someone leaked it. But she tweeted great lyrics to Gaga. She said, Gaga's single's great. That's all that matters. Gaga said, "Ah, my queen," spelled K-W-E-E-N.
Oh. That's how the kids are spelling it.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Okay. Then I love you, Cher. Thanks for the support. You're the greatest thing. Oh, it's a love story.
No.
And thank you for holding my meat purse. But I don't know what the kids are calling it.
No, remember when Lady Gaga wore the meat dress? She carried a meat purse and she handed it to Cher while she went up on stage to collect her award.
Right.
And her pashmina.
Her meat pashmina.
Pashmina.
Ironically, that's what I said to Cher when I met her.
Thanks for holding my meat purse.
There's an image. Wow.
She said, "Nice pashmina."
Uh-huh.
And I said, "Thank you for holding my meat purse." That's going to be in my wedding vows whenever that happens.
Yeah.
Even Katie Couric was impressed by their exchange. Love when women support each other. Go, Lady Gaga, and Cher, she tweeted. Oh. Jackie Schaffner and I support each other. I'm going to tweet her later. Thanks for holding my meat purse. Stop it. I would like to issue an apology. Jackie Schechter has never held my meat purse. Yet. She might be vulnerable today. Okay. Just kidding.
Yikes.
Oh, I'm just
You're
kidding.
You're a vulture.
Right? I learned it from Jim.
Oh, God.
You know, as you know, for many years, we have been Team Jen.
Sure.
Jim, always been Team I Don't Give a Flying. Right. However... For those of us that are still very involved in this whole Team Jen, Team Angelina thing, they narrowly avoided an airplane run-in.
Ooh.
E! News has learned that Angelina Jolie and Jennifer Aniston were both scheduled to be flying first class on the same British Airways flight from LAX to London. Oh, that's a long flight. Awkward!
Yeah.
Several hours of awkward! An employee realized the flight might be
awkward.
Right. And informed...
this is your captain speaking. We've discovered a rather difficult, touching situation. I believe it could be quite awkward.
Shut the overhead bitch.
Put her in the overhead bitch.
Bin.
Pardon me. They informed Camp Aniston about the potentially uncomfortable situation. Jennifer's schedule subsequently changed, and she flew out Monday instead. So everybody can... We can all move on now. That happened, and we... God,
apparently that British Airways staffer was reading the tabloids and have been following the feud between
them. It might be a bit of a sticky wicket.
Sticky wicket, yes.
Oh, duh.
I don't suppose they had same sex in the bathroom.
Someone must ring Team Aniston.
Because any normal person wouldn't know, wouldn't care.
I would.
Would you?
I would have been all over that. Wow, I'm not sure how this is possible. Britney Spears spent $7 million in 2012. She made regular purchases at the 99-cent store. How do you buy $7 million?
I don't think the entire $7 million was at the 99-cent
plus store and the pay 99 cents or less store. Two different 99-cent stores were part of the establishments that she was able to spend $7 million at.
And a lot of that, they said, was Christmas lights.
Oh, well, that was only $4,000-something. Pardon me, $3,400 on Christmas lights.
Okay.
Except for, like, friend Chevy Chase's house? What?
That's a lot of Christmas lights.
Oh, dear God. Really? Okay. Kris Jenner, mother of Kim Kardashian, criticized Obama's president's assertion that her daughter and Kanye West are not setting great examples for America's youth.
Well, they're not setting great examples for America's
There's
youth.
There's that.
Also, he's a jackass.
Right. He is indeed a jackass. Thank you. I find it so odd he's picking on Kim Kardashian and Kanye West. Who says their daughter's name by their whole name? That's weird.
Yeah.
While my mother would say, I will have no comment on Stephanie Miller. She might? Really? Well, Kanye West, first of all, doesn't go on vacation, ever. Oh, I see. That was a dig at the president taking vacation. Why Kanye? And Kim Kardashian, that is just weird. Who refers to by their whole name? Is the hardest working young lady in the world. Okay. All right.
Well, vacation from what? What does Kanye need a vacation from?
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, dear. Ex-husband begging celebrity chef Nigella Lawson to get back with him.
Oh.
I guess he's a little choked up over the whole...
Oh, I see what you did.
He appears to become unhinged since their split and has been bombarding his former wife with texts and phone calls, making threats to harm himself if she doesn't call him. Oh, that's always effective. Charles has been texting and phoning Nigella endlessly. A source said one minute he's pleading, the next he's bullying. Okay. I would advise her to just... Yeah.
Just move on.
Call block, right?
Yeah.
I will shove a screwdriver in my eye unless you come back to me.
What?
That's appealing. All right, well, I'll be married to a guy with a screwdriver in his eye. All right. All right, that's it for us. Don't forget, follow us on Stephanie Miller Show, at Stephanie Miller Show on Twitter and on Facebook, so you will know where our new TV outlet is.
At SM Show.
We continue on the radio, StephanieMiller.com, for all of that info. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show. Thank you, Current.
Bye.